Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
To Nobody Panic with me, Stevie.
Me, Tessa.
And also we have some special guests to talk to us about how to poo. It's only the bloody Mac twins, Lisa and Alana Mac from the Gut Stuff. Hello.
Hello.
How is your pooing?
Pooing is great.
I'm just trying to think if I've had one today yet. I have.
Oh, this is great.
Strong opener.
Yeah, we're in.
I haven't. Tessa, have you? Four already. First out the gate.
Easily, yeah.
This is a very thinly veiled episode to basically just sort out Tessa's gut. Basically, each week we like to learn how to do something, and this week we are speaking to two essential gut experts from The Gut Stuff. If you go on their website, The Gut Stuff, they launched it in 2017. They've just brought out their first book, The Gut Stuff. Their Instagram is at The Gut Stuff. Twitter is at The Gut Stuff. It's a very strong brand.
Strong.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what the inspiration was behind starting The Gut Stuff?
Yeah. Can you tell that we got in there quickly before gut health was a big trend? We got in with all the handles.
Yeah, so very randomly is how we got into it. So in our past lives, and still sort of currently, although we're sort of semi-retired, we were DJs. So we started off on radio, so we did one extra, we did Saturday Nights on Virgin, we then were their official Love Island DJs, the show that nobody watched. So we were on tour loads and living a very hedonistic lifestyle, as you can imagine. You know, we were actually quite tame for DJs, but couldn't have been further from the health and wellness world. We were brought up in working class Scotland, so we essentially had deep fried pizza and chips, a Greg's softy, and 10 Lambert and Butler for lunch.
If I had that, I would not poo for 17 weeks.
No fibre there. Anyway, we had different health pathways growing up, even though we're 100% identical. Alana had arthritis when we were younger. I got really bad acne, and our health pathways were totally different. So we volunteered for twin research when we came down. Now, historically, I thought medical research was like students getting paid a grand to take Viagra. Turns out that is a bit more than that. And they use twins loads because we're a great constant for medical studies.
We also didn't get paid.
We didn't get paid as well.
Okay.
We paid them in poo, actually. Tim Spector, who heads up the research facility there, who you might have seen in the news quite a lot because he created the COVID symptom study app. And he gets kind of brought out for anything on genetics and nutrition and diet. We volunteered there because you get to find out loads of cool stuff, like physiologically what's different between us. So they test your like bone density, your mental dexterity. It's like a weird twilight.
He's got mental dexterity. Name.
And you know what the test is? They basically get you to name animals. And Alana just went, dog, cat, I'm out. And they were like, okay. And I was like, puffin, cooking.
Lisa's was much better, but my bone density was better. So, you know,
swings
I'm probably
going to
live longer. So you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, so long story short, we were volunteering there for a long time. We loved it. We were like super curious, asked lots of questions. And the American Gut Project had just happened. So research into this new thing called the microbiome was starting, this like kind of new medical frontier was starting to take shape. And Tim was like, do you guys want to be the first people to take part in this study? And we were like, yeah, sure. What do we have to do? And he was like, okay, you have to send your poo off in the post every day for 2 months. We were like, fine. And you have to have 3 colonoscopies, which didn't realize what that was until we signed the waiver form. And I was like, oh shit, literally. Yeah. The doctor was really hot as well. So when we went for the colonoscopy, I came out and I text him being like, if medical research gets nothing, I've just had the camera at my bum and a man asking me if I lived in Kentish Town. It was really hot, like, what's going on? Turns out they did. And we actually, you guys will know this very well, they asked us for the first month, is there a month of the year where you can only eat processed foods and drink alcohol? And we were like, the Edinburgh Festival. so we were doing a show at the Edinburgh Festival, like a DJ battle show at Gildy Balloon, and during the at night, and then during the day we were DJing for Tia Maria. So we were having like milk smoothie shaky things, which was great for a week. So we were like, we're just drinking cider and eating chips. And then we were like, oh my God, we did not feel well. And then for the second month, they put us on like a kind of Mediterranean diet. And it was to show how nutrition affects your microbiome. Sorry, this is really long-winded, but
no, essentially, I am captivated.
We have 100% the same DNA, but only 30% the same gut bacteria at any one point, which means that our microbiome is completely unique. So firstly, we have the same, you know, it's like strangers, basically. And secondly, we can change it. So we were able to change it within a relatively short time frame, and we could change it through diet and nutrition. Three things.
And for anyone listening who's like, what's a microbiome? Give it to me short and hot.
We always say when we started the research, like, pretend we're toddlers, we'd say to the scientists, like, explain to us. Like,
that's way better than saying give it to me short and hot.
I'm going to start using give it to me short and hot.
Yeah. So the microbiome is basically bacteria, fungi, viruses that live in and around and on us. And they play a huge role in all our health, so overall health. But the reason why we talk about it when we talk about gut health is that a lot of it is housed in our large intestine. So when we talk about gut health, a lot of the time we are actually talking about our microbiome, but it's sort of not as catchy.
So it's bacteria, it's fungi, it's bits.
Yeah, it's bits and bobs. It's essentially not humans. All the non-human bits of you, like the microbes. And they're actually like, when we first found out, we were like, oh my God, wash us. What do you mean? Actually, they really, they do loads and loads and loads of cool jobs, and we need them to survive. So we need to start looking after that ecosystem and start considering it. So all this stuff, our previous, touch point of nutrition was the cabbage soup diet pre-Magaluf 2005. Like, this was not our world. And what we were realizing, and the scientists, the reason we set up the gut stuff was firstly because our pals were like, 1 minute you're interviewing pop stars at the Brits for your radio show, and the next minute you're at Reading University talking about probiotics. What is going on? And we were like, oh, just that gut stuff, just that gut stuff. Now it turns out we're in some sort of SEO haven because gut health is a big trend. But yeah, so fast forward to now, yeah, we have a big team, and we like this is like full-time job as well as passion. And yeah, it kind of turned on its head everything that we thought, where we're from, health is just not being ill, and well-being is something that Gwyneth Paltrow talks about. And I think that to democratise that information and make people see it's not just smoothies and gong baths was probably the thing that kept us up in the morning, because the scientists weren't saying, take this magic, super magic pill that's £1 trillion from our laboratory. They were saying simple stuff like, up your fibre, chew your food more, which I think you guys have done an episode on before. So yeah, we were like, okay, we need to democratize this information, because actually the science is complex, but the application could be accessible for everyone.
I think as well, that audience that we were DJing to, especially when we did the Love Island tour, were very much thinking of their bodies from the outside in rather than the inside out. And we thought, if we can start thinking about, educating that generation on prevention and not all these sort of short fixes, detox nonsense, lollipop, bloody weight loss bullshit. We were like, it's so important, because not only is this information not true, but it's also can be damaging to that generation and the way that they perceive themselves, but also health, in our, how can we help our healthcare system fundamentally and democratize health across the UK? So from a serious point, there was heart and soul in it, but essentially we do just talk about poo for a lot of the day.
I'm sorry to already come back to microbes, but what you guys are saying is that everybody's are different, and everybody's can also be changed. Like, whatever you've got now is not just your lot in life. You can totally change what you've got in there.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's empowering. It's not just, that's what we said. We were like, okay, like, it's a good thing. It's something that is within your control. It's not just diet that affects it. It's lifestyle. So, sleep, a lot of cultures now now currently we do sanitize everything, which is absolutely right and true. And please do not. But, you know, with antibiotics, over-sanitization, more sedentary lifestyle, it means that we've actually lost some of these species of bacteria forever. So yeah, let's get back to foraging and kissing your dog. But yeah, there's lots of different things that affect it as well. And actually, it's all the sort of, you know, health and well-being stuff we kind of know, but we now have the why piece from this new science coming out to say why it's actually, you know, could improve our health.
When you get those pieces of advice and it's like, you know, drink more water, eat a balanced diet mm-hmm. and like sleep more, you just want to be like, shut the fuck up. Because like, yeah. it's just like, well, why? Like, what does that actually do? Yes, mm-hmm. okay, I'll feel slightly better in the morning, but I can have a Red Bull, like, and then I'll be fine. Like, but actually knowing that it's exactly what it's doing to you, I think connects it so much easier. So you can be like, great, I'll shit better. Like, that's, we all want to do that. And I wanted to kind of go sort of back a few steps and just kind of, would you mind explaining, like I'm a toddler, like I'm a short and hot toddler, what happens when we poo? So we did a previous episode about how to eat healthily, and we talked a lot about, you know, like chewing and all of that sort of pre-stuff that kind of breaks the food down, but we didn't talk a lot about when it's in your intestine, what is going on and what happens to make that poo happen, and then we can move on to things like what does fiber do and all of that.
Yeah, so I think the thing about what when we first started the journey, we were like, gut health, you mean like my stomach? And everyone assumes that we did, you know, unless you did A-level human biology, that is probably the truth, but it's everything from mouth to bum. And right. as you learned before, there is a lot of different organs at play. So that's at the start of the book, we basically kind of broke it down like it was an orchestra, because there's loads of, like, you know, the esophagus was an oboe. And, you know, the liver, the gallbladder, there's so many different organs involved. Some people are secreting stuff in to help out. So, you know, your food is broken down both physically and chemically, and your body is really clever, and it takes what it needs and is useful to it, and then it chucks out what it doesn't. And that's, like, really simply what happens. The reason that sometimes it can get overcomplicated is when people have digestive issues and they're like, but what is the problem? Either I have diarrhea, I'm shitting too much, or I'm constipated. How can I affect those things? And actually the answers aren't just necessarily physical. They're not necessarily, you know, it's everything that we talked about before as well, including lifestyle. If you're stressed, the gut-brain axis is, you know, your gut and brain are intrinsically linked. And I think, you know, there's all these different things that have been potentially overlooked, you know, how you sit, and I'm sure we'll get onto that, like how you sit when you poo, etc. And I think going back to like toddler biology and actually learning how all the different bits and bobs works helps you to kind of, yeah, tune in a bit better, I think.
Give us a run through of this orchestra of, like, let's go through the orchestra of the digestive system. We start in the mouth, we end in the butt. Well, what are we going through?
Okay, so you chew your food, and it gets pooed down your esophagus. And then it's got a bit of a journey. So it goes into your stomach, and essentially liquids get a VIP pass into there. They're like, we're going ahead, guys. We're skipping the queue. And it gets churned about a bit. Some stuff gets secreted in there. It then goes into your small intestine. That's where most of the nutrients and stuff are absorbed. And then everything that it doesn't want goes into your large intestine, which is where things like fiber are fermented by your gut bacteria. Then it gets pushed out. Ta-da, we're ready to come out. And then it's out the other end. So that's like a really simplistic version.
Very helpful.
Knowing that there's a lot of other bits and bobs, and people will say to us, oh, I've got stomach pain, and they're like pointing down here or somewhere else, and you're like, you know, it might not be that. So yeah, so it's explained a lot more eloquently in the book.
It's beautiful.
One thing that everybody says is, like, one thing that everyone could do with their diet is more fiber, and there's all different types of fiber. And would you mind just explaining to us, like, we were toddlers, about what is fiber? What's it doing to your poo, and why do we eat it?
Yeah, so when we were first going through the studies, like, fiber was the main thing of the studies, and we were like, what do you mean, like prune juice and all bran, like what? Which
it, we used to just think, our, like, our grander Jim used to say to us, it makes me go, and I was like,
which it
sure,
does.
That's all we knew about fiber.
Yeah, so this, yes. Basically the scientific bit is that fiber is the kind of part of the plant that humans can't digest, but our microbes absolutely love it. So it's basically the food for your microbes.
Oh, so you're like feeding your little stomach
feeding
garden.
The bugs. So, like,
pets,
basically
the pets.
Pets, yeah. You've got little pets in there. In my head, the bacteria are like tiny little, like, Cavapoo dogs.
Yeah,
I see them a bit more like a rainforest. And the more different species you've got, the better.
So we want that fiber to feed our pets in our rainforest, so they can be healthy and better at...
Well, We don't, science is still sort of working out what each bacteria do and why. Okay. So essentially you want to make sure that they're fed because it makes more favorable environments. So you really want to keep them happy, like they're at the party. So if you think the bacteria are the party goers and mm-hmm. the fiber and prebiotics is like the buffet. So people will be happier if they've got booze okay. and buffet. And you don't know how they're going to behave when they have booze and buffet.
Also, you don't know what party goer is like, what bits of the buffet.
This is
they could exactly. not like the egg that you've provided.
Bang
you
on.
Know, most
or
don't.
The vol au vent.
The vol au vent.
The vol au vent.
That's why we need to feed them a variety of different fibers, but also a variety of different foods because we don't yet, we can't say, you know, this specific food feeds this specific type of bacteria. And also the bacteria work differently in with other types of bacteria, but also in different humans.
Yeah.
So it's so complex.
But it does.
You've got your own personal
stool,
party and your own personal buffet going on. When you say it yeah. softens your stool, I think this is where people get confused. And by people, I mean me. Mm-hmm. So they would say, you know, it softens your stool. And I would mean, and people say like a prune would soften your stool. And I was like, right, so is the actual prune going to come out? If your body doesn't really want the prune, but your microbes do, the prune's going to end up at the end of the process, right?
So it basically, it can be digested by that. So it bulks it out. So you think it does just like bulk
it literally
out. That's
does
why
bulk
hydration helps as well.
But why do I want a bulky poo?
Well, so it comes out.
Ah, okay. So for me, I never have a problem with anything not coming out. I think that's why I'm like, why do we bulk it out? I'm like, it's already coming. So people who it isn't coming out, the prune is like, I'm going. Anyone want to come with me? I've taken what I'm needing and I'm off. He's doing a French exit out of the party.
I think as well, like, that's probably historically where the confusion's coming with fiber because people that, you know, don't have trouble with that are like, oh, well, then I don't have to have fiber. But now we know that not only does it bulk and soften our skin and do all that good stuff, it also feeds the good bacteria. So that's why it's having its Craig David resurgence because it's like, I'm coming back.
I was having fiber on Monday. Exactly.
I was doing the shit on Tuesday. We all know that.
Shitting on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday.
So you said that there were different types of fiber. So for example, you've got the whole gamut here. You've got me who's like, I can't poo. And then you've got Tessa who's like, I can't stop. So would we be focusing on different, using us as like type A and B, would we be like focusing on different types of fiber and what would they be and which one should I specifically eat?
So historically we thought that there was only two types of fiber, soluble and insoluble fiber. Now we know that there's actually loads more than that. So there's loads of different types of dietary fiber. Mother Nature has given us a great buffet, thanks hen. And you know, it's just trial and error to see what, you know, what works well with you and what you like. So it comes in, you know, filling your diet with loads of fruit, veg, whole grains, nuts and seeds, to make sure you get a range of different fibres, as we talked about, that variety thing before.
By the way, if anyone does have a digestive issue, they should speak to their GP about fibre, mm-hmm. because in general, we say that your average person should be getting 30 grams of fibre a day, which is actually quite a lot when you think a portion of broccoli is only 2.5 or an apple is only 2.5.
Oh,
so
wow.
We've got a lot of fibre to get through. But we will say if anyone does have digestive issues, it can be different. So speak to their GP or dietitian. But the hacks that we always use are like keep your skin on fruit and veg. It's an easy one. Most of the fibre is in the skin. Swapping like white pasta, rice or bread for brown. That'll help you sort of like tip up the scales. And then nuts are a really good source. So like if you're snacking, use them. Have them instead of packet kettle chips. As much as we want those salt and vinegar, also kettle chips, try and go for the nuts. But we thought, you know, that fibre was just cereal, but it's not. And actually, you know, there's a hierarchy when it comes to fibre counts in fruit and veg as well, like a Jerusalem artichoke or, you know, chicory are high in fibre. So we've actually got fibre tables on our website, all very exciting, where you can see how much fibre is in different types of fruit and veg.
Adding lentils into a bolognese if you want to, like, you know, just
kidney beans, will that help?
Kidney beans, yeah.
Kidney beans will help.
All the beans.
Do beans make you fart and why?
Well, do you want to know the reason that they make you fart? So the fibre, you know, the gut bugs at the party having a good time, the fibre is them secreting gas because they're having a great time.
So when you fart, you just go, sorry, that wasn't me, it was my microbes. Do you know what I mean?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How, I know it's different for everybody, yeah, but is there like a golden number for how much you should be pooing or when you should be pooing?
Well, you know, we actually get asked this a lot, and it's usually in the toilets after gigs. Like, I haven't pooed for 3 days. Is that normal? And I'm like, I don't know. Is it your normal? But essentially, you kind of touched before, like, we are all different, and kind of what's normal for one person might be abnormal for another. So we always say, like, the key is to watch out for changes in your bowel habits and then speak to your GP if you notice changes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, there's that old wives' tale, it's like one a day, but that's not necessarily true. And Alana and I, you know, she's like, bang on every morning. You know, it's very indicative of our personalities, actually, how regular Alana is and how all over the shop I am.
Could I ask a question about bloating? I'm sorry, yeah, if this is the same thing as them releasing the gas to make, yeah, the fart. What if you like really blow up like a bowling ball big?
Say, for example.
Say, what might be causing that?
So bloating's a tricky one because, and we have a dietitian called Leslie, who's brilliant, who's like a really good article on this on the site, which is great. So bloating is normal. If you've had a big meal, your gut bugs are also having a bit of a party. So they're like, woohoo, thanks for the fiber, guys. Living at large. But if it starts to become really painful and persistent, then speak to your GP. Culturally, the kind of bloating thing on Instagram and these kind of movements have damaged bloating, because bloating is a result of, you know, if you have a big meal, you may be likely to bloat. The when it I think it has clouded people's vision of when to tune in. If it's painful, if it's keeping you up at night, if it's persistent, then it's, yeah, probably an issue. But you know, these before and after pictures of bloating is just not the one.
That's so unhelpful.
Yeah, the before and after thing is definitely what led me to be like, because I saw some pictures that were like, you know, this is, I used to look like this, and I sort of looked and I was like, oh, do we not all look like that? Or, you know, mm-hmm, is that not a thing? And so you're right that the seeing that on Instagram is what makes me think like, and is that not normal? But to know that it is sort of calmed down a bit.
And also you're physically putting stuff into your body. Like, it's like that, yeah, kind of, I think when you, it's always in what we've seen, it's when you bring aesthetics into it, it's when it clouds it. Because, you know, if you feel uncomfortable and it's sore, then yes, go and speak to your GP. If you don't like the fact that your stomach's, you know, protruding a little bit after a meal, then that's something quite different. And I think they've become blurred.
You're so right.
I do often look at my plate and I'm like, that's in me. Yeah. Like, I've eaten a massive meal, like loads of water, loads of wine, or like loads of ice cream.
And you're like, God, why do I feel unwell? It's like all the things that were on the table are in my body now.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally in my body.
And as well, when you see everything that it does, like your gut does from start to finish, you're like, my God, that's amazing. My body's amazing.
There's a lot of work going on.
It's hard at work.
I think it's so sad that it is a sort of like, oh, we don't talk about it, and pooing so embarrassing, and like, you know, it's hush hush, very rude. Be like, everyone does it every day, and also it's a miracle. It's unbelievable that what your body
and
gets
this
up
is
to.
What we always say, like when we do talks and stuff, doesn't matter where we do them, we're like, you know, it's the one thing apart from eating and dying that we all do. Do you know what I mean? Pretty much. And then you've got to think about like when their babies, when we're babies or when they're our babies, we talk about their poo all the time. Oh my God, it's green, it's yellow, it's black. Oh God, they've done two today. We do it with puppies. Kids talk about poo all the time. And it's like, what age did we stop being so open about it? Because it is so important and we all do it. It's hard as well because, like, it's obviously a poo taboo. And, you know, I think we're getting there with things like periods and sex. And I think poo is the next one.
This kind of sliding scale of importance for it, you know, at best it's quite funny. I personally think it's quite a funny conversation. And at worst, you know, it could be an indication of, you know, we work a lot with, you know, bowel cancer research charities and stuff like that. And it could be an indication of something going on. So I think that sliding scale is something that it's important we talk about it at all ends, because, you know, it's quite funny. And also we should be looking at and tuning into our poos, because it can be
a serious thing. But also, like, yeah, I grew up in a, like, my mum, who listens and will be definitely listening to this, didn't really say the word, like, we didn't really talk about poo. Like, yet you said, like, I'm going to, like, and also she's not like a Victorian woman. Like, she's really chilled out about literally everything. That's why it was so marked that you didn't say poo. You said you were going to the bathroom or may I leave the table. Didn't even say that you go to the toilet. And now me and my sister have, like, tried to normalize it by just, like, just shouting poo at her all the time, talking about farting, trying to, like, gross her out so that she feels more like, but because I remember when I learned, because I have, like, IBS, I think most people have IBS, but I feel like if we know that your brain is sort of linked to your stomach and it's all linked, then if you can't say it, then that's probably not helpful for you to be doing it as well. Mm. Like, if your brain can't even verbalise the word poo.
Totally. And people holding on as well. Like, you know, we've all been there. We've been desperate to go, but you're, you know, you've just slept over at someone's house for the first time. And, you know, how we poo is, like, important, but it's also overlooked. And I think that, as you say, like, psychologically, you know, we've stopped that in our heads. I think the gut-brain axis is so interesting for loads of different reasons, but they're connected in so many ways. Like, they're connected by a thing called the vagus nerve, which is unfortunately nothing to do with Las Vegas, but
I was going to say, it's the party nerve.
Yeah, it's the party nerve, which is a physical thing, but also with neurotransmitters. So if you think, like, the vagus nerve is like your phone line and the neurotransmitters are like WhatsApp. So that's like serotonin, GABA, like all these hormones that determine how we feel. And then the physical one, where it's like, you know, we've always kind of known that we see the person you fancy get butterflies in your stomach. Actually, we realize that that's a two-way system. So if you have something on your stomach, it's direct, these signals travel up the way as well to your brain. So, you know, the research is all really new and exciting. And I think, as you say, I think they're a lot more intrinsically linked, you know, even anecdotally, as we all talk about it, you're like, oh yeah, you know, scientifically, we now know why those connections are there.
That's so interesting. May I ask a very specific question about periods? Why do you get a bad stomach when you're on your period?
Do you know, this is like, apart from alcohol, which is always our go-to with the scientists, this was one of the second ones.
Yeah.
Why, when we get a period, when I have my period, do I have diarrhea?
I actually added this chapter to the book quite last minute because I was like, we need to put that in. So essentially, period poo is a thing. Right. And I think we've all kind of known it. So basically, our hormones can speed up or slow down our bowel movements. And the microbes in our guts, the clever guys we were talking about, also help break down and get rid of hormones. So hormones can affect basically how you go, but also your microbes are quite heavily involved. So there's, again, like the fiber, it's like a double pronged thing.
So is that like the party guests are too busy dealing with like the really drunk people so that they're not actually focused on the party as much?
Yeah, or they're having to break up fights at the party.
So maybe, they can't party they can't as hard as they once could.
Yeah.
That's why quite, you know, there's quite a lot of links between obviously like pregnancy and menopause, and it's all to do with the way that the hormones interact with our microbes. So.
And also the pill, like, I think for a lot of reasons, you know, the long-term effects of it have been overlooked for a long time. Like, things like that, it's like from a very young age as women, we are affecting and influencing our hormones. And I think that periods is a way that punctuates that because it comes every month and we now track them on apps and such. But I think there's definitely a link, and anecdotally, it is the thing that we get asked a lot about on Instagram, like, I can't poo when I'm due my period.
That is so good, though. That's because I remember I just thought it was me being weird for ages.
Yeah, no.
And then it was only when you start talking to them, like, do you also? They're like, yeah. You're like, oh, thank God. I don't feel so mad.
Yeah, totally.
We're really lucky, actually, with Instagram that people are so open with us on DMs, and we used to historically do events, remember them, a thing of the past, and you know, just how open and honest people were was just like amazing. And I think it just encouraged us as founders to be really bold with everything that we did and to talk about everything,
open the poo taboo floodgates. We actually did if you've been in South London recently, we did a big poster campaign with poos all over bus stops in Southwest London. And yeah, Sylvia mentioned, I was like, I'm a poo nanny today. And we had like different names for poos. And yeah, I'll send you actually the spreadsheet of the poo names, because it went around all of the creative team, and it was essentially just a spreadsheet of poo names. And I was just like, I had to highlight the different poo names to sign off before we sent it to JC DeCole, who ran it and put it on bus stops. And I was just like, this is my job now. I'm actually highlighting poo names in yellow to go on bus stops.
If you've not, if anyone listening hasn't seen them, they are a sort of beautiful shade of pink, and all of the poos look a bit like a balloon or a cloud or a, they don't look like a poo.
Condom.
Yeah. A condom. Yeah, yeah. They look like, exactly right. They look like a shaped condom, but it is nice. And it is so, it's a bit like how only like so recently there was like an, like a period, a sanitary advert that had like some blood in it, as opposed to like a blue water or whatever. They are like, yeah, okay, let's be real. Let's start talking about all this stuff. If we keep sort of you know, being like, oh, that's, we don't mention it. You're like, it's so important.
Yeah. Cause I think we tend to like dodge it, or patronize people and make it really kiddie. So like poop, do you look at your poop, like stuff like that? Or you just think
everybody poops.
Yeah. And you know, it's just like, let's just call it what it is.
Just wanted to know your opinions on pooing stools and raising yourself up and squatting for pooing and pooing positions.
Good question. The position that we didn't really know what was the position. We made an infographic on this actually and laughed quite a lot when our designer was making it. She was like, what is this? I was like, it's important, so just, this is how we'd like it to look.
Put it in.
So basically a Western toilet, well, you know, toilets typically mean that your knees are at a 45 degree angle rather than 90, which, and I'm going to get technical here, it basically, your pubal rectalis muscle, I think that's how you say it, contracts, which squeezes your bum or your rectum tight, making it evacuation difficult, shall we say. On top of this, if you start straining, then you will put like unnecessary pressure on your pelvic floor. So basically, if you squat with your feet on like a kind of 20 to 30 centimeter high step when you use your toilet, it relaxes that muscle, which allows your rectum to open properly, making it easier for evacuation.
And you can just use like the Yellow Pages still exist?
Pile of books. Just use a pile of books. On our website, actually, the infographic in question, when you see it like that, it looks like a sort of like, I don't know, like a lasso or a kink or something. I don't know, like what it looks like. But you see, well, you can see it visually. You're like, oh yeah, that makes for
described
good.
Described as a, like a kink in a hose, like a garden hose. That then like.
I think as well, as you said before, like it's kind of like when you anchor it in like what's happening physically, or what, you know, the bit of science behind it. You're like, okay, I get it. But also, it might not be, you know, it's not a solution or a magic pill. It's like, if you try that and it makes you feel a bit better and your poo comes out the way you want it to, great. If you don't, you know, carry on. It's like, it's, we have got a binary relationship with it.
I wanted to ask as well, you know, there's a lot of like colonic irrigation is like a cool vibe, but lots of people are like, oh, I get a colonic irrigation. I've never had it, but sometimes I really want to, as somebody who has constipation. Then I learned that it might flush out all of your microbiome and be bad for that. Is that the case?
Yeah, it is, unfortunately. But I can see how it's an attractive proposition, like if you're feeling like bunged up, and as a short-term solution, getting everything out, you know, I can see how the short-term relief could be quite appealing to people. But your gut, unfortunately, isn't dirty and doesn't need to be washed. And I think basically there's no evidence behind their efficacy, despite some claims that you might read. But it's actually the thing that causes the biggest beef on Instagram when we say, because we've got a thing called a bullshit bin, which we put something different in every Wednesday. So our followers ask us to put something in the bullshit bin, and we go back to our team and say, you know, is this bullshit or is it not? And actually, the thing that I find most interesting about that is actually the contraindications to doing it, like infections and stuff, outweigh, obviously, of course, the short-term relief. And I think, you know, it just kind of speaks to the bigger problem we have of a solution, magic pill, stuff needs to come out, restriction, don't have dairy, gluten, fun, wine, everything, rather than actually let's tune into these amazing bodies that do stuff for us and get all that stuff out in their own time and tune in as to why you might not be happy with that or have a better relationship or with it or tune in to
it's like treating the symptom rather than the actual cause of the problem. You're never gonna improve if you just keep washing your intestine out and saying like, well, it's not working. It's like, well, no, it's not gonna. With alcohol, should you, you've mentioned it like a few times, we haven't actually asked you the question, like how does alcohol kind of interact with pooing? And what should we be doing? How can we look at that balance better?
It's not sexy, but it is like basically alcohol can affect the permeability of your gut lining, right? So that's one thing. Oh, we actually have the liver specialist from UCL who basically every January in dry January gets rolled out into every press article. But he did the chapter on us for the book, and we have like an Instagram live for an hour and a half where I ask him every question that's still on our Instagram. And we always thought like when we're hungover, it's because we're dehydrated. Turns out that's not the reason. You know, there is some things to suggest. So red wine is high in polyphenols, which your gut bacteria love. But, you know, it's like coffee. It's full of high in polyphenols as well. Like the kind of alcohol and caffeine bits of it, you know, it's like that weighing it up of, yes, it's high in polyphenols, but you could get your polyphenols from elsewhere instead of having alcohol. But We all metabolize alcohol differently. So the amount of alcohol that you have will have a different effect on everyone else. Like the kind of stuff that we know. And I guess like, you know, you eat highly processed foods, perhaps more like us. We have McDonald's at 3 a.m. if you've been drinking alcohol. So sometimes it's not just, it's difficult to determine if it's the alcohol having an effect on your gut or if it's been out till 3 a.m. and all the other stuff that's been happening.
Yeah, and also
you often don't drink
water. Everyone's like, drink a glass of water for every time. Yeah, it's like, no one does that when they're actually drinking wine because you're drunk. So a sober you would do that, but drunk you, it's like, fuck, water. Yeah.
There's actually an amazing book called Drink by Dr. David Nutt about the psychology and physiology of alcohol. And I actually gave up for like the first 77 days of the year just because... well, nobody's having any fun anyway, let's face it. And it was really interesting when I went back, the changes in my body to drinking, changes in my body, the changes in my behaviour. And that book's quite good at just laying down the law. And he actually studies, you know, he's like a scientist that studies alcohol, but also he owns a wine shop with his daughter. So it's just like a really beautifully balanced book where it's like, this is the science, but you make your own choices. So
I think for me as well, like, as with everything gut stuff related, you know, if I had a red wine in front of me and a white wine and I knew I wanted to drink one of them or both perhaps, I'll probably go for the red wine more now because it's high in polyphenols. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's the same with everything to do with gut health. You know, with the gut stuff, we're not here to preach and be like, right, you've got to have this every day and not have that. It's about, here's the facts. Here's what you can do. Here's the top tips that we give. Empower yourself and go do it. Whether you take that information on board or not is, you know, is entirely your choice. But I think that's a lot of what happens in the health and wellness world, and what we've seen it coming from a completely different point of view is like, you must do this, you must do exactly what I did, standing on my head drinking green smoothies and only having water at 5 o'clock on a Thursday, you know, when the sun's shining. And it's like, you know, it doesn't, you know, science is complex enough. Let's, you know, empower people with the facts, and then you can make your own choices off the back of it. Because, you know, if Lisa and I can't be sold the same diet with 100% the same DNA, then no one can.
It shines a light on how superficial all the sort of wellness industry is of the you know, the flat tummy teas and the, you know, the lollipops and all of this, the sort of nonsense of being like, look what worked for me. It's like, it's sort of irrelevant what worked for you because you have a totally different set of bacteria and a totally different body and a totally different lifestyle. And so it's sort of like, there is no thing. And there is anyone who tries to sell you on this, like it works for everyone or whatever. It's like that inherently is a lie and a con. And you understand how it happens because we're all desperate for it to be a quick fix.
For a magic pill.
Rather than it to be like, you need to drink 8 litres of water and go to bed. And we're like, no!
Boring!
I think as well, I think that's why gut health, you're starting to hear a lot about it, more about it now. But before, you know, when we started the research in 2015, and, you know, we've seen this sort of rise, I think because it's been hard to commercialise because it isn't a one-size-fits-all product or model or service. I think that's why it hasn't come into public consciousness yet, and that makes us angry because we're like, well, people should still know, even if they don't want to buy something off the back of it, they still need to know how important it is and how much it's linked to so many different health outcomes. We just watch out from the rooftops how important gut health is, and those microbes are little pets.
They are little pets, our little family that's living in our little stomachs. Do you have any more questions, Tessa?
I have a million, but I've obviously got 5,000. But I'm also aware that I'm telling you where I'm going to find the answers in your new book, The Gut Stuff. And on your website, The Gut Stuff, and on your Instagram, The Gut Stuff, and on your Twitter, The Gut Stuff, and on the post-it. The book is out now. It's out there. It's in all good bookstores. Yeah, I'm gonna buy it, and I think I'm gonna devour it, basically. It's just so nice to have these really big ideas condensed into a sort of fun and accessible way. And I think you guys are really opening the door for everyone to be, like you're saying, democratizing something that used to be a sort of $1 million industry and only some people were allowed in. I mean, like, everyone should be allowed in. Everyone's got a gut.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking poo with us. And everybody listening, go and Google The Gut Stuff and find all their stuff.
Read up, get to know your guts.
Get to know your gut. And please do, if you have any topics that you want us to tackle in the future, tweet us at nobodypanicpod, or the email address, Tessa, is
nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com.
Have a lovely gut healthy week. Eat some fiber. Look at your poo.
Have a gut day.
Have a gut day.
Have a gut day.
Party with your microbiome. And we will see you next week.
And thank you so much.
Thank you,
Alana,
so much.
And Lisa have been just the nicest guests we've ever had on.
Thank you for having us.
See you next week, everybody. Bye bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast, and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.